It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, closet dwellers and closet busters. It is time once again for the Coming Out Lounge, and you know what's been happening. Yes, we're right in the middle of Pride Month, so we're really stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living our truth, being out of our closets, and making those big, bold moves. And all month long, we have truly just been telling stories and bringing people in that talk about different things about living their truth and really going that distance so that they can just be who they are. And today I wanted to bring in someone who is a fellow coach of mine, been through the same training that I have, really great guy, and he's got a super brand that's called GoBeYouCoach.com. And it's so interesting because I remember the days when I was in my coming out world in a really deep level and had changed brands and stuff around. And so GoBeYou was really resonating for me. But then I thought, you know what, that's not really what I want. It's something else. So I'm so glad that my buddy Scott, who I'm about to bring on the air here, has found that path. He's a great guy. He's gone through the years of denying himself and finally discovering, embracing, and really revealing who he is. And he knows what it takes to do this. And I'm going to kind of let him tell his story. I hope you really dial in. And whether you personally identify with Scott, I bet by the end of the conversation, you will realize there's so many parallels to his story, to your story, to our entire planet story, that we are all truly, truly connected. So I guess I should just shut up and say, hey, welcome to the show, Scott. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks, Rick. I really appreciate it.
So you and I got connected through IPEC, our coaching school. I think you had posted something on the Facebook group, or maybe I did. I don't know, but somehow, you know, it seems like I blame Facebook for everything these days, but I'm not blaming it. I'm thankful for Facebook for really getting us connected. And so why don't you start by kind of telling us what drew you to starting to go through the coaching journey?
Well, I tell you, so I'd say in the beginning, I'd classify it as midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. Just had a day job that wasn't really fulfilling. And, you know, most days it's, I can't wait for Friday. And then, oh my God, it's Monday again. And, you know, just going in and giving 100% every day, but in the long run, just not being fulfilled. And I started getting tapped on the shoulder. This is kind of how I refer to it. The first thing that made me think of coaching was a coach had come in and been presenting to our group at work. And she got everybody's energy up and everybody was all pumped about, you know, what they wanted to do with their lives. And how to be more effective. And they were all excited about, you know, I think they were just riding her energy train, really. For me, what I was getting excited about was what she was doing for them. So they were looking at her and they were getting kind of wrapped up in their own stuff. And I was looking at her going, oh my gosh, I love helping other people get connected to that. And that was kind of the first tap on the shoulder. I reached out to her and kind of started investigating, what does this mean to be a coach and coach people around energy? And then I had another opportunity at work and some training that, you know, led us through some of those assessments about what you do and stuff. And at the end of it, my takeaway was, what should have been obvious is, I'm not doing what I should be doing.
Right.
And working with people somehow had to be a part of that. And the third thing was getting connected with a coach that went through the same program that you and I did and really kind of discussing that. And that was like the third tap on the shoulder. And for me, that always means it's time to, you have to actually take some action. You can't just think, oh, you know, that might be something interesting to do. It's time to take action. So that third thing made me.
It's so interesting when you get those nudges, isn't it? Because it's that thing that kind of drives people to do things. You know, I was working with a client earlier today and I was kind of surprised that he had come out to his spouse over the weekend. But then I didn't say that because I want my clients to move when they're ready to move, you know?
Right.
And because then if I throw something out there that's like, oh, I'm really surprised, then I'm throwing a judgment at it. It's not my place as a coach to judge. It's my place to guide them and help them see what works for them. So he was telling me about this, and I said, oh, that sounds good. How are you feeling? Of course, it's kind of crazy. Things are confused. There's some anger. There's, you know, a lot of, you know, they're in the tornado right now. Now,
sure.
They're what I call in the tornado. I was kind of being quiet, and he goes, I feel like you don't think I should have done this by now. I said, why do you say that? He goes, well, you're just really, really quiet. And I said, no, I'm just being really quiet because I'm listening to you. And he goes, well, I did it because you talk about the nudges. And I'm like, what do you mean I talk about the nudges? He goes, you keep talking about the nudges, that you're going to get the nudge. And finally, that one nudge is going to be the one that says it's time to go. And he goes, I got the nudge on Saturday, and I just decided to go. I said, well, that makes sense. I said, but don't interpret that I'm being quiet and not approving. I said, I agree. The nudges are the things that move you forward. It's interesting. I think most of us, that's kind of what moved us forward into doing the work we do.
Definitely. And I've gotten better at being aware of those. Now they're nudges, right? When I was younger, it had to be, I waited for the 2x4 across the head to actually take action, you know, and I've learned to listen to the quieter little taps and be a lot more aware.
So let's kind of dial back a little bit and let's really talk about the 2x4 across the head, so to speak, because I didn't really say anything in the intro because I wanted to kind of like bring this kind of organically to the forefront. You kind of had some pretty big nudges along the way in life and then finally took heed and really let the nudge wake you up and bring you to your truth, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I give like all credit to coaching for that happening because, you know, I knew very, very young that I didn't have a word for it at that time, I don't believe, but I knew very, very young that I identified as male. Mm-hmm. And there were a few instances where I expressed that to family or friends and met with either, you know, being laughed at or ridiculed or, God forbid, the mom shrieking and going, mm-hmm. what do you, you know, right. Like that, you, no, don't say that. And, you know, that kind of stuff caused me to internalize everything and stuff it and try to be the person that they were wanting me to be.
Mm-hmm. So real quick here, Scott, I'm curious. I know what you're saying, but I think it would be helpful for those that are listening to really understand your version of internalizing and stuffing it. Give us a little bit of like how that felt, what that looked like for you.
For a lot of stuff, it was isolating as far as sharing who I was. I you know, I still remained athletic. Everybody just at that point in time just called me tomboy and I could get away with that. But the real things that I was feeling, I would just try to not feel or hide them from things. Actually, you know, I actually started drinking pretty early as a kid. And that was one of my coping mechanisms for, you know, hiding those emotions and not feeling the insecurities that I had, the fear that I had, and the knowing that, you know, I wasn't being who I really am. And I can't.
I'm curious too, you know, I don't know why it's this interview that brought it up, because I've talked to many people who have transitioned, whether it's transition to male to female or female to male. But since you brought up the terminology tomboy, that, I don't know, that just hit me today when you said it. It's like, even that must have like almost caused you to go into a tailspin, because it's like, well, I'm not a tomboy, I'm a boy. I would imagine that's what you may have said in your head.
Yeah, I said lots of things like that in my head. And just met with more frustration, right? So it affected the things that I would do and playing. So I played in sports. By the time I got in high school, our basketball team, we had to dress up and wear a dress or a skirt on game day to school. And I had panic attacks just trying to go buy clothing to do that my freshman year. By sophomore year, I couldn't do it. So I didn't play basketball anymore.
Wow. So as you're going through this, you know, as you're starting to like, couldn't do the play basketball or refusing to, you know, or having the struggles with the clothing or maybe even refusing to do the clothing, what's happening in your home life around this?
We just had lots of struggles. You know, some of it you could probably write off to the normal parent child stuff, but some of it went, you know, to extremes. And there were instances where they would just tell me that I was the problem because I didn't get along with anybody. But really, you know, I was not being heard. I couldn't be heard. I was afraid to even speak up about stuff. So when we had those conversations, about anything, you know, I'm holding back and only partially participating from my genuine self and just really trying to walk on eggshells to not cause any rifts and not cause any problems with
I'm sure,
I'm just trying to survive.
Yeah. And as I'm listening to you, I can't help but, you know, go back to my own journey back in those years. But I can't help but think how many people listening right now, and there may be some, you know, younger teen people listening right now who are like, yeah, that's me, that's me. But then what I also know is, because I work with a majority of people who come out later in life, they realize this as they start the coming out journey. And then as they come out, they also go through that, you know, gay, lesbian, bi, trans, whatever adolescence that hits, because they never got to be that. So then all that stuff comes rushing forward. And I've actually had a few clients, they're like, yeah, as I've been in my gay adolescence, you know, at 45 or 40 or 50 or whatever, I suddenly confronted my gay youth and my straight youth in that moment. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating to watch what happens for them when that is going on, because the two start to conflict even in present day. Even though that's clear in the past, those two energies show up together and there is almost a duel that goes on saying, okay, this is who I am today. You, who I was back then, it's time for you to finally go away so I can be who I'm meant to be right now.
Yeah. And that's something that's unique to each transgender person's journey is to how much they really want to, you know, get rid of that. Some people really absolutely need to get rid of that persona that they had to be and didn't identify with, and others still embrace it and reconcile that, you know, it's a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the space that I'm in. You know, a lot of really great things happened before my transition. You know, I had some really great things in life. I've had some awesome friends and support systems along the way that were not family members. They were chosen family.
Right.
And just surrounded myself by those people. And, you know, I accomplished some things and overcame some barriers as the person I was prior to transition. And I embrace that because it has brought me to who I am. But not everybody's, you know, in that space and capable.
Well, I think what you just brought up, Scott, is a beautiful thing. Not everybody's going to be able to do that. And not everybody should choose that that's what they're going to do, because we all take our own journey. We all have our own path. And this is one of the things that I get frustrated most about is, and I've talked about it numerous times on the show, is when other people tell you, well, this is how you need to do this. There are certain pieces of this is how you get to do this or could do this that do benefit us in our journey.
Right.
But find those pieces.
You know, it's a big thing. There's no right way to be transgender.
Absolutely. I can't even
imagine. There's no wrong way to be transgender.
Right.
Actually, the way I'd rather say it.
Yeah.
The right way is to be yourself.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the other people are doing or saying.
So take us forward. You had these times through, you know, your younger life, high school and stuff. So when did this finally become the, like, 2x4 across the head, so to speak?
Well, I came out as lesbian at 18 and went through periods of time, you know, a long period of time where I didn't really speak with family over anything. And that was my journey, was the, what I'm going to say, a still closeted lesbian for several decades. And I, you know, worked in predominantly male roles and jobs that I had. And I just really tried to stay under the radar. Mm-hmm. If anybody asked me, you know, came out and asked, I was honest. But if nobody was asking, I wasn't coming in on Monday and saying what I was doing over the weekend with anybody, because I didn't want to have to watch pronouns and who I was seeing and all of that stuff. So that, you know, that it's possible to live that way, but what it does, it's very isolating, right? To not be able to connect with the other human beings that you're around, especially when you're working 40, 50 hours a week, you're not connecting on a personal basis with them because you're not sharing who you are. Mm-hmm. It is depleting. It just, you know, withdraws from your emotional bank and it just builds on you.
Well, and I think a lot of people don't realize consciously how isolation really does, as you said, it starts to deplete your emotional banks. It starts to deplete your social banks. It starts to deplete your confidence banks. And as much as it also is a protection, because it is, it's a shield of armor we put on by, okay, I'm going to kind of isolate here. I'm not going to say a lot. I'm going to kind of be quiet. I think oftentimes people just don't realize how much, you know, I'm going to say harm it does us as a person, because it starts to impact so much of how we socialize in life. And now you add your secret, whatever that may be. In your case, you know, I'm a guy, I'm not a woman. And then you take and layer, and now I'm isolated and I'm losing confidence and I'm not, you know, all these things get layered. It's one of those things where at times I just want to go, okay, just trust this, that, you know, what Scott and I are saying right now, the isolation is actually going to make it somewhat harder and sometimes really hard when you get ready to do the rest of the work, because now all of that's got to get undone too. So that you can be truly who you are.
Yeah. I mean, it manifests itself physically, you know, through health, migraines, being overweight. It can manifest itself in, you know, just being sick all the time. Mm-hmm. It manifested for me, it manifested in, you know, not taking promotions or jobs or roles that I was going to have to dress up, because mm-hmm. dressing up meant dressing it, you know, in a woman's business suit. And so, you know, I wasn't as successful as I could have been. I was not able to reach my potential because of that secret. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you kind of said, fast forward to where that 2x4 was in the head. I started that coaching journey, and I went to hear a person that came in to speak about the transgender journey at my work. I went for a friend. I went to get information for a friend who was considering transition. And as I was sitting there, you know, I think one of the things that I've come to know, and I think I probably always knew, was in the LGBT community, we don't necessarily know that much about the other letters. And I had a very narrow definition of what transgender was. And that day when I heard that speaker give me a different definition that was a very broad umbrella of what it meant to be transgender, I left that talk knowing two things. One, that I wanted to coach transgender people mm-hmm. because they're a very underserved community. Yep. And two, I had some serious things I had to get curious about myself mm-hmm. because I knew that I fell on that transgender spectrum. And having been, you know, being coached and that, and in the process of learning about coaching, I knew to get curious and not freak out, but I really, you know, I had to go have somebody coach me through what I was thinking, what I was feeling, and all this, what seemed like new stuff that I was being presented with, which really wasn't. It was stuff that I kind of, you know, stuffed under the covers years ago and got coached through what all this meant for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you started to do the work, I'm curious, as you started to move towards this, here's who you are, then you realize the coaching's really happening and helping. What do you feel like was the thing that really brought you forward from the coaching? I mean, I know that's a huge question, but I know for me, there was certain moments in my own coaching relationship that really started to turn the light bulb on. Okay, this is how I move forward.
Yeah.
That's a big question.
That's such a huge question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could
Let me start
ways.
With what I discovered. So I was doing therapy, and then ironically, in the midst of the whole first couple of years of coming out and being in my divorce and everything, I'd also been put in charge of hiring an executive coach at our organization to help us through a transition as we merged three companies together. And her and I became friends. And then I said, you know, maybe I could use some coaching about, you know, career and stuff like that. And I guess it was the moment that she introduced me to the book. You know, I got paused there for a minute because I was trying to think of the name of the book, and then it hit me. It's called Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. And I remember getting that book and literally, and I think part of the reason I consumed it so quickly was because I was in turmoil. I was in chaos. I was in the tornado of my divorce and everything. And money was a big piece of the puzzle, but I was giving it way more energy than I needed to, because when everything started to settle, I actually had plenty of money. I was living in Laguna Beach, California. It was a place I never thought I'd live. All this stuff started happening, but just the name of the book, you know, Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. I remember waking up one night after having fallen asleep reading it and looking at the book and going, do what you love and your life will follow. And those are the words that came out of my head.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those moments that I thought I never would have been exposed I can't say never, but there's a high probability I never would have been exposed to the book. I never would have been exposed to the possibilities that I learned through her coaching as my coach. And that was the moment that things started to really turn and shift for me.
I'd have to say, I think the hardest thing for me with all of it was, you know, I'd come out once and there were a lot of bad receptions. There were a lot of fantastic receptions also with coming out before. But part of me was just like, God, I don't want to do that again. But the coaching stuff and my values and coaching around, you know, not fulfilling my purpose really got to the point where it was, I'm not going to be able to move forward with what I want to do and to be able to help other people if I'm not authentic. Mm-hmm. Like, it is somewhat like you said, you know, like, do what you love and your life will follow. It was like, for me, it was like the moment of be who you are and everything that you need will just fall into place. Mm-hmm. Just work on being who you are and don't put the energy into all the other stuff. And that, I think that was the moment. And there's, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you there's no fear in being who I am and being out with people. You know, it brings in, you know, fear of economic insecurity and fear of all kinds of things. But when I put my focus on being authentic and just being who I am, you know, as they say, warts and all with people, it's the connections that I'm making mm-hmm. that create that space. So everything really ends up being okay.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, Scott, because it is the thing that I feel gets most overlooked. And especially when people are in the midst of their chaos and this coming out or being who you are is like really going to turn life inside out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Dan Savage's book, It Gets Better, it sounds so simple and it almost sounds so trite to say that.
Yes.
But it really does. When you give yourself full permission to go be yourself and say, this is who I am. Yes. It doesn't take away, as you just said, it doesn't take away the fears. And especially for, you know, people who are transgender, there's so much on the line and so little protections. And it pisses me off so bad because when I'm on panels and I have to listen to the stories, I don't even want to talk because I'm like, you know, the gay thing, you know what? I got nothing on my transgender brothers and sisters here. Okay. But
your journey's still valid too.
Because that's the other piece for, you know, your journey is people, you know, they get confused and it's just an attraction. No. We could go into that. We've done that enough on the show, right. But it's just, it's so amazing when you do embrace the truth of you.
Yes.
Then you can look over there and go, okay, so, and you know, people have heard me talk about this on the show. So the truth of me then showed up in my job. And then the truth of me then showed up in friendships. And the truth of me then showed up in things that I enjoyed doing because you did something that was the truth of you. That was probably the biggest truth of you thing you've ever done in your life. Now, some of these other things, they're not such big obstacles or challenges. It's like, okay, I really do fucking hate this job. So it's time to move forward. It's time to go do something.
Exactly. And, you know, once you give yourself permission to do the biggest thing, that biggest secret and step into that life, permission to do all the other things that you need and want to do in life is a lot easier.
Very cool. So what's been the most challenging thing? Let's kind of go right to current, you know, day where here we are, we're in June, it's Pride Month. What's been the most challenging thing for you in the last 6 months as someone who lives in the transgender community?
I think, you know, I hate to say it, to stir up anybody, you know, like trigger warnings here, to stir up anybody's stuff, but the challenges that we're facing right now politically, you know, I do understand that the pendulum swing, you know, we made great strides in access and rights for all of us in one direction and the pendulum was going to swing back. But I think right now it's just a really scary place to be transgender mm-hmm. and having, you know, state by state, we've had since January 1st, we've had over 100 bills across the United States that have been proposed to, you know, discriminate against transgender people in one way or another, be that a bathroom bill or something else. you know, deny you access to be able to change your birth certificate or something like that. And it's, right now it just really feels like we're under siege and we need all the allies and support and stuff we can get. But personally, you know, on my own journey of transition, things are going well, you know. The more I am authentically Scott and openly talk about it, which actually is kind of polar opposite of who I used to be. I'm an introvert. And for me before, it used to be that I was bashful and didn't share anything with anybody. But now to me, my being an introvert only means that when I go to recharge, I have to be by myself to recharge. But I can do public speaking, I do workshops, I do all kinds of stuff that are out in the open, and I'm now, you know, openly transgender instead of the closeted lesbian that I was.
Right.
And doing all these things that were opposite of the way I used to be. And just knowing that, like, this is more me. And the more I am Scott in front of everybody, the more confidence I have, the more fulfilled my life is. And all that other stuff, you know, it'll shake itself out in one way or another. I believe overall, you know, love conquers hate, and the majority of people have no reason to hate on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a very important message. And it's a easy one to hear, you know, love conquers hate.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to embrace when you feel the hate and the marginalized spaces that we walk through. You know, it's very hard. But if you can just keep saying to yourself, I know that to be true. I know that that can happen, that love does conquer hate. And if you own it and embrace it yourself, it's going to make it much easier when those moments show up. They're like, yeah, well, fuck you. I'm going to show you that it really doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
It is one of the lessons that I feel like I've learned the most in my life, and especially in the last, whatever it's been, 18 years since I've been out, was, you know, the love starts with me. I've got to love me. I really got to love me.
Yep.
And that will first conquer my own self-hate. Then that helps me to learn to conquer it when it's external coming at me from other directions. In fact, I was just at a seminar with a good friend of mine, Dr. Joe Court. He's great, great therapist out of Michigan. He's written several books. He does a lot of work in the psychology world. And he said something in his seminar the other day that made it so simple. He said, guilt and shame are part of the journey. That guilt is about something bad that you have done. Shame is about something bad that you think you are. Mm-hmm. And that was like a huge light bulb, because I use shame and guilt all the time when I'm talking to clients. And, you know, I thought that's such a simplistic way to explain this away, is to bring that forward. Because when you can understand those two concepts, then it helps you begin to really embrace how you can love yourself and how you can start to dissipate the hate and everything that comes along with how we show up in the world as LGBTQ individuals. It was just so powerful. I mean, I kind of got shivers when he said it. I'm like, oh, wow. That was the perfect way to bring it to the forefront.
Absolutely. My favorite person that kind of speaks on that topic is Brené Brown.
Yeah.
She talks a lot about vulnerability. And her thing is, you know, she's a shame researcher.
Yep.
And it is, you know, guilt is I did something bad. Shame is I am something bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're raised with a lot of messages that tell us that we're something bad. And the fact of the matter is we're not. And, you know, just a lot through her stuff and learning to be vulnerable. I can't connect with you if I'm not vulnerable.
Right.
And to me, life is nothing but, it's all about connection. And we need that. And when I was closeted or prior to transition and not being my authentic self, there was no way I was going to be able to connect with anybody, because it was false.
Yep. Yeah. So since you brought it up, and I think it would kind of bring this, you know, not even full circle, because we haven't even had a whole lot of time to get even really deep, but we've shared some good stuff.
Yeah.
So Scott, you just brought up the word vulnerable, and I just want to share with the audience, but I'd love to have you kind of share, how vulnerable were you feeling coming on this podcast?
Extremely vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no denying it, right? Once something's recorded, once something's done, like, I can't take back what we've been saying. Mm-hmm. So it's out there for anybody to hear, and me standing there saying, here I am. I am and claiming myself as a transgender man.
But then on the flip side, What's the best thing that can come from you having been vulnerable and coming on this podcast?
That the best thing for me is that somebody hears this and identifies with it and feels that nudge that we were talking about to start being authentic for themselves.
And
if we ever get to connect in the future, that would be awesome. I'd love that. But if just one person hears this and feels that nudge that they can suddenly make the decision to be authentic, it's all worth it.
It is. It really is worth it. So before we wrap it up here, Scott, first of all, everything to get in touch with Scott, if you happen to be in the space where you're like, I just feel like I'm having these feelings and I know I'm this person in this body, but when I look in the mirror, I know what I see, or you fantasize about what you see and know yourself to be true. And you just really would like to have somebody who could guide you and help you really step in to go be yourself. We'll have all of his information up on the show page here for this episode. But one of the things I always like to have our guests do is just like leave a one last piece of advice with the listeners as to what you feel like could help them as they start the journey, whether it's about coming out or sexual orientation, in this case, gender identity. What's something you'd love to leave them with to just inspire them one more time before we wrap it up?
I think the biggest thing is that we teach people how to treat us, and that starts with us treating ourselves well. So that's, you know, I want to teach people to love me for who I am as a trans man. And that means I do that by showing them that I love myself as a trans man.
That's powerful. So powerful. Who would have thought that a coaching school would bring together so many different people that enable us to share these sort of stories out in the world? And I have to say, I have had several of my IPEC family on the podcast. I feel blessed every time I get to do it. And I really felt blessed to have you on the show again here today, Scott. So thank you for being yourself and showing up and truly being and going and being who you're meant to be, man.
Thank you very much.
So there you have it. Another episode of the Coming Out Lounge has come to a screeching halt. Well, maybe not a screeching halt, but yeah, it is wrapping up right here. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening and being with us here today. And I want to reach out to my listeners right now and say, you know what? I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your questions that you might like to get addressed here on the show. I'd love to hear your comments, your suggestions. Maybe you know someone who would make a great guest. So if you would like to do that, you would like to give us some feedback and give us some ideas for guests, or you want a question that you want me to answer, give us a ring. Yes, that means dial your phone, 949-371-8559, 949-371-8559. That actually goes to a Skype voicemail box, so you can call us from anywhere that you have access to a Skype number. You don't have to have Skype to dial that number. For those of you who are out of the country, that might make it a little bit easier. Or if you want to send us an email, just send it to rick@rickclemons.com. Again, rick@rickclemons.com, and Clemons is C-L-E-M-O-N-S. We would love, love, love to hear from you so we can put more into the show that's coming from our listeners. And with that, we're going to call it a wrap and wish you well for the coming week. Never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth, because every time you do, it's simple to be bold. Take care, everyone.